from WUWM Milwaukee Public Radio. This is the Chancellor's Report, featuring Mark Mone, Chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Here's your host, Dave Edwards.
So, Mark, anything going on in your office these days?
Well,
I want to spend a lot of time, obviously, talking about the issue that everybody's been talking about, and that is the governor's budget and how it impacts UWM and UW system. I should say up front that we are recording this in advance of the governor's actual release of his budget document. So we're going on the best information we have on a Friday afternoon, and some of the things may evolve, because this really is very much an evolving issue. So we've been reading all of the headlines that the governor has been calling for an unprecedented system-wide base budget reduction of $300 million over the next 2 years, the next biennium. So how does that compare to other cuts? Because certainly the university system has been dealing with other cuts in the past.
Yeah, we've had at UWM alone over the last 15 years about 40 to 45 million in cuts and base budget reductions. And there's a couple different formulas for that, but between 40 and 45 million dollars in the last 15 years across all those years. So now looking ahead at the next biennial budget, this cut is essentially as large as the total of everything we've experienced over the last 15 years. So that puts it in context. Another way to look at this is there's been no other biennial budget cut that's been more than $8 million. And here we've got two $20 million back-to-back cuts. So it's substantially larger, it's unprecedented, like you said.
Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, in the last budget, the university system was dealt another fairly dramatic cut in the governor's budget and approved by the legislature. Had that not occurred, would you be in a different position than you are now, or is this cut of such magnitude that you'd still be hurting?
As we look at the commitments that have been made at UW-Milwaukee because of all the remarkable programs that we have underway, all our new initiatives, the new activities that really have taken place over the last 10 to 12 years. As we look at the requirements that we have, the financial obligations associated with those, our Innovation Campus, our School of Freshwater Sciences, our work at the Zilber School of Public Health, the major commitments that we have on our campus to expanding and growing our programs that are remarkable and changing lives every day, we have experienced, because of the last 5 years of enrollment declines and tuition freezes and past budget cuts, a situation where we would be already very strained financially. So that sets the stage then for this to be particularly challenging for us to deal with.
You mentioned the tuition freeze. There was a tuition freeze in the last biennial budget. Another one is being proposed. So that's 4 years of a tuition freeze. And that, I guess that really is what was also, you know, putting your arms behind your back, and you don't have a whole lot of flexibility beyond there.
Yeah, and that's right. In any other organization, you know, when you look at some of the challenges, you'd have the ability to manage your revenue side of things. Having said that, I wouldn't want tuition to grow dramatically if we had that flexibility today. Now, perhaps for out-of-state or international students, I would make a case for that. I think that's something we need to consider. I would hope that we could make an exception to the rule. But for Wisconsin residents, especially our undergraduate students, I do everything I can to preserve tuition long-term where it is. I mean, this is a real issue facing the country, and certainly locally. We represent an important avenue for higher education to occur, and so I want to try to preserve that as much as possible.
Mm-hmm. Is it fair to say that you don't know exactly, as of the time we're talking right now, you don't know exactly how much money you will have to cut from UWM's budget yet?
Yeah,
has that been worked out?
That's accurate. Now, what we all we can do is understand at this point that the total cut of 300 over a two-year biennial budget, if that were administered the same way we historically have been, we represent 13% of the UW system budget. So it would be slightly less than $40 million out of that. That represents history. Going forward, we may have a change in that formula. Some of our schools across the system are a little more distressed. Some are a little better off, and perhaps they would look at that. Our enrollment pattern over the last 5 years until this year had been challenged. So perhaps we'd fare a little better. I can't bank on that, though.
Mm-hmm. You know, you've spoken on this program, as your predecessor spoke before you, about the important role that UWM plays, not only in educating students, but really in the health and growth of really the state of Wisconsin economically and in other areas. Is that in jeopardy now?
Well, Dave, you hit on something that is so near and dear to me as I think about the big, bold, the directions that UWM has been going, the role that we play in economic vitality in this region. And it's, you're absolutely right. The foundation is, who's going to train and educate the nurses, the engineers, the computer scientists, the healthcare professionals? Who's going to help that part of the economy? And I could talk at length about the forecasted needs that we have and the insufficiencies in the present market. But the differentiator for UWM is and has been, and it's been remarkable, what we've built over my 26 years here. What I've seen happen at UWM is nothing short of remarkable in terms of the research impact, how every single field, every single school and college brings so much to the industry, to the education sector, to nonprofit, to all the different areas because of that level of knowledge and understanding. We solve the problems. We solve the issues that are so vitally important in so many different fields. And it's that research differentiator. And so that is the thing that concerns me, because if we tinker with that, what's taken years, truly decades to build, then what happens if we, in a competitive market, if you look at the STEM fields, science, technology, engineering, and math, but if you look at other related fields, computer science, you look at business, you look at other areas where there's remarkable opportunities nationally, our faculty are some of the best and brightest. And if we lose those folks, it just doesn't get rebuilt quickly. It takes decades to build that back. So that is where the economic vitality, if we think about what's happening in other states, if we look, we're surrounded. In Ohio, they have been looking at the return on investment of higher education, and it's staggering the types of returns that they're getting. We look at Michigan and Iowa, again, Midwestern states where we're seeing investments in higher education that are linked to exactly what you're asking about, the economic vitality. Industry comes forward and says, this is the role that we see higher education, especially in the research university, being able to play. Engineering in the state, we're dramatically short, but it's because companies need not just to manufacture like we historically have, but to manufacture to tomorrow's exacting standards and new technologies. And that's the seed corn. That's you know, from an agricultural model. Mm-hmm. It's tomorrow's future. So short-term gains, long-term costs.
So if that's true, and in fact the university system and UWM plays a role in industry and developing of the state, why so far have we not heard industry, manufacturing companies and hospitals and healthcare systems sort of stand up for the University of Wisconsin system? We haven't heard much of that.
Well, we haven't asked and been aggressive enough, and we will be. Keep in mind, up until this week, Tuesday, there was not anything that was substantiating the potential cuts. This was, and I think as you know, the governor's budget has not even been announced yet. This is something we've basically had some insights into. And I should acknowledge that this is the governor's budget initially before it goes to the Joint Finance Committee, goes on to the legislature. And we have been privileged to be able to have some input and to help direct and shape that. Our Board of Regents, our system president, and others have been involved, and that's great. But we haven't heard the formal pronouncement yet. I think after that, those voices will come forward. We will certainly be asking them and in force. And I've certainly had very healthy discussions in the last week with a number of industry and community leaders, and they have said, we are here to help. They have said we really need to do some heavy lifting. We need to really address this. They see that need. And I cannot speak for other parts of the state, but my speculation would be that if you look at the role of UW system schools in all the respective markets and economies, we're not just sometimes some of the larger employers, but the difference that we make on the talent side and the education is vital. And that's why we're one of the envies of the nation, you know, one of the great places for higher education to really have that impact.
So we don't know the exact dollar amount. I think it's fair to assume it'll be a dollar amount that you're going to be scrambling to find on July 1. What are some of the things that can happen? How do you shrink a budget with the commitments you already have? What are the kinds of things that are in play?
Well, we, not knowing the exact number, it's not easy, but we do have a good sense of the magnitude. So I've assembled immediately a task force that is going to be looking from a biennial budget planning perspective. How do we deal with this? Everything is on the table. Everything. And we look at this and we talk about hiring, we talk about travel, we talk about future recruitment, we talk about how we'll look at all of our operating lines and talk about where we can gain efficiencies, potentially restructuring, potentially consolidating. Layoffs have to be one of the considerations. There's no stone that will be unturned. We at the same time have to look at protecting and serving our key interests, and those include student success on a number of fronts, the role of research, our profile, the impact that we have, and how we engage in the community, and then creating a culture to do that. But boy, it's an incredible challenge in this environment.
Mm-hmm. So we've been talking about one part of the story, which is the cut. The other part that we've been hearing about is that the governor has proposed, or we believe will be proposing, that the university system become a quote-unquote public authority. And I'm not exactly sure what that means. I've heard several people try to define it. What have you heard about that?
The public authority, as I understand it today, is a model that's been used. The best precedent is with the UW health systems, hospitals, clinics, that some years ago adopted a public authority model. And the idea would be that this would be where UW employees, UW system employees, would no longer be state employees but would be public employees. They would be covered still by the retirement system and the insurance that the state has, but we would, in that model, have more flexibility and autonomy around procurement, around the bonding authority for buildings, some of the elements around pay plans, and tuition flexibilities. So those are some of the key elements. The Board of Regents would be the governing body, and the policies for selecting regents and what may become a Board of Trustees in that model would be similar. That's the preliminary understanding, subject to potentially changes. One of the important components that I understand is part of that is how what we call what is a statute, Chapter 36, which governs our shared governance and tenure, that would come also as part of the new public authority. That's vitally important. That's a critical part. And we have received assurances from our system president and Board of Regents that they see the value in that and recognize the importance of that.
Why is that important?
It's important because we share a collective governance model where we do things and we're in this together. There's a core understanding that we collectively can make better decisions than any one of us as a whole. So I actively engage our faculty senate, our university committee, our classified staff, and our academic staff bodies, as well as our student association, because this is at its heart the best form of democracy. This is where we have voices that are heard by all, and we collectively can make a great decision for the campus. It's long been heralded as an important value within the UW system, and I firmly uphold that. I think it's better for us to make decisions where we have the buy-in. You know, from my background, from whether it's change management or organizational leadership, how collaborative decision-making, team-oriented approaches are far superior than to one or a small group of individuals making a decision for others, especially in a faculty and staff-driven environment. It's just so helpful to have that.
Mm-hmm. I know that the University of Wisconsin system has asked for that kind of autonomy before, so that's not anything new, and I'm sure that the system president and you as chancellor embrace that concept. If I've heard it said that the reason for that is because it would allow the university system to operate more efficiently, more effectively. But if that is in place on July 1, at the same time that these budget cuts occur, you can't really ramp up savings on July 1 to help you deal with the budget cut, correct?
Yeah, you're right. There may be a bit of a false economy on the front end of this, meaning that we will not get, like you said, the economies, the efficiencies for some time. The cuts, however, will be immediate. They're real, and there's no question about those. So that's concrete. That's locked in. We will be told, here's the new budget. It's at a certain level that's less than what it had been. The proposed public authority would take a while to be figured out in the first place. Then for us to move into that public authority and to receive the potential benefits, it is years down the road before we would have that. As an example, you can have a pay plan. You would have the autonomy to have a pay plan, but where would the budget be to have that pay plan? Same thing with regard to procurement. We're not going to be purchasing a lot of certainly large initiatives in an environment where we're cutting our budget so dramatically. So I welcome the autonomy potential. I welcome the flexibility. We all do in the UW system, and that could be a good thing. We have been asking for that. But it's just on top of a budget cut that will have cost to us all and will take time for us. In fact, the reorganization itself will add cost. It just does when you change to a new organization form. There's oftentimes duplication. It's hard to move to that new model overnight.
Mm-hmm. I forgot to ask you one point about the shared governance model. I've heard the governor and I've heard other lawmakers refer to doing away with shared governance as the equivalent of Act 10 as it was imposed on public education prior years. And the thinking was that if you did away with shared governance, if it was truly like an Act 10, that would give you as a chancellor more flexibility to make the decisions without consulting your faculty. But you're still defending that model.
Well, you know, having been part of the model for a long time, and I am certainly a true believer, you know, as I think about that, just pose for a moment the model, what that narrative would look like. If I were to make a decision absent the judgment and counsel of our governance groups, how would I be sure of two things? One, this is the best direction to go absent that insight and counsel. Perhaps more importantly, how would I know I'd have the buy-in and the participation of people would really want to follow that particular model? I again go back to the idea that we make better decisions together than any one or small group of administrators would. We simply value that too much. And to not have that input, I think what we would risk there is the challenge of having had, you know, if you were to have grown the organization without that in the first place, it would be one thing, but we have a culture and a set of values that holds that so near and dear, it's hard to change that. Now, the interesting thing in the discussion so far is there really hasn't been, I don't think, as much discussion about getting rid of shared governance and tenure as much as moving it over to a public authority. That's where I guess I take some assurance about that. If that is the ultimate outcome or the intent, that's you know, something that you know, I would be opposed to, because I think that there's just too much value in shared governance and tenure.
So you've pledged to the campus community to be transparent, to hold a series of meetings to keep people informed and keep people informed in other ways. As you obviously, when you talk to different groups and you assemble the committee that you talked about, there's going to be a tendency of, well, not in my backyard. My program is extremely important. As you would talk to these different groups, are there certain areas that you're saying, look, these are our priorities, and we have to not lose track of these priorities, even if it means sacrificing some other things?
There's I'll answer that in two ways. One is the issue of openness and transparency will be seen in a number of different areas. We have our first all-campus meeting on Tuesday, February 10th. We have a website that we're developing to communicate updates that will keep everybody informed. I have held already meetings with our governance groups, and we've been issuing this week alone two different all-campus emails, and we'll be keeping people updated as things tend to occur. I also have, beyond that, charged our provost and our university relations vice chancellor, Tom Lujack, and some other key leaders with developing quickly a biennial budget task force on communication above and beyond the budget planning. And this communication group will have, and I've given them already, a series of charges that will be to not only internally message and communicate, but externally and answer questions about what's going on, what can I do, how can I have an impact. So that's another thing. So that's one part of my answer. As far as the messaging to the campus about the priorities and the content, our budget group will be looking at this in a way different than we have before. In the past, as most UW system schools have engaged in this, it has been across the board. That's the same type of discussion that's happening with regard to this cut. We on our campus want to be and need to be more strategic. We need to look at what are the key priorities, and I'll tell you, they have to be around student success, things that retain and help our students with graduation, and things that help prepare them for their future careers. That's got to be in the top priorities. Our research, the differential that we have across all the institutions other than Madison in the state, to really uphold that and make the differences, those are two areas. And in Milwaukee, how could we not continue to have our great commitment to the community, the different things that we do in the school districts, the things we do in engineering, the 350-plus performances that our Peck School of the Arts has, the business community interactions with the Lubar School of Business, and the list goes on, every single school and college, what's happening in architecture and urban planning, the impact that we've had. So those types of areas, as was recognized earlier this month, with us receiving the Carnegie classification. This is one of the premier designations in the country for a university that is truly engaged. So those are the priority areas. When it comes down to specific programs, departments, we're not at that point yet, but we will be, and we have to.
So I want to address one other area here that has been getting a lot of attention, and that was I'd like to get your response to the governor's very pointed claims that faculty just doesn't work hard enough, and if they would just teach a little bit more, some of this problem would just go away. The system president kind of went after that comment, saying he's tired of hearing that. The truth is that that comment is out there, and a lot of people are saying that faculty members just have it too easy.
I think a lot of people don't appreciate and respect what happens in an academic environment, especially in a research environment where people do research that impacts the lives of everybody. When we think about the engineering developments, or we think about the latest technologies that are being used in healthcare, when we talk about the work that's being done in energy storage, we're all concerned with saving energy. We're all concerned with improved healthcare. We're all concerned with things that affect the quality of the education that our children receive. If we don't appreciate what happens, and if we only look at what happens in the classroom, we forget about those important applications, the things that companies, educators, healthcare professionals, other individuals come to us and say, can you help? We have these types of needs. What we overlook is the fact that we have one of the hardest working, one of the leanest research universities in the country at UW-Milwaukee. At a bargain price relative to other types of educational, higher education pricing models, the University of Wisconsin system overall has just a remarkable value proposition. So we're talking about challenges to that is really what happens. So I've been at a number of universities in my 35 years in higher education, and I am just in awe of the work that we do, how hard our faculty and staff work, and I'm so proud of all those areas on our campus.
So we've just got about 5 minutes left, and I've been kind of surveying the comments that people have posted to our website, to other websites, and I just want to get your reaction to three themes that kind of keep coming up with this. Faculty members only teach one or two classes a semester. True?
No, no. If somebody has a research buyout where they're engaged in significant and funded research from the outside, that can happen. For the most part, our faculty are engaged in multiple classes a week and extensive amount of work outside of the classroom with respect to whether it's the graduate student supervision, work in their labs, work that they're working on in terms of the kind of publications that add to the knowledge base in their respective fields.
Point two, teaching assistants do most of the work. If you just got rid of the teaching assistants, the faculty members could and should do more work and there'd be a savings.
Well, in fact, teaching assistants, I can't give you offhand the statistics in terms of what the class coverage is at UWM. We employ teaching assistants oftentimes in labs. So if I taught a class on Monday and Wednesday and I spent my hours in the classroom each week, then I would have a teaching assistant that might cover my lab when we break a class down of 150 students into five different separate lab sections of 30 people each on Friday. A teaching assistant might cover and do some of that work. But I'd be teaching the core classes, and that's the way at UW-Milwaukee we operate. Some larger schools and certainly where I've been before in other universities, we have had a high reliance on that. But in fact, your productivity from a financial perspective would go down if you didn't have the teaching assistants. And this is where we teach the next generation of students how to become teachers. Our graduate teaching assistants learn a lot through that particular model.
Third thing I've seen, the university wastes too many resources on curriculum that won't lead to jobs, like comparative literature and classes like that.
That is a criticism and a comment that has been around for a while, and I think it's unfair to not reflect and not recognize what do we want from a college graduate? Do we want somebody who is prepared only for today's job and not have an understanding of comparative eras in history, to not understand comparisons from different cultures, to really fully appreciate a critical thinking perspective, to really understand the arts and humanities as a well-rounded individual that is prepared to contribute to society in so many different ways over the course of a lifetime and a span of careers. And why I say that is that what we anticipate right now is that individuals graduating from college today, at least half of the jobs that are going to be available in the next 5 years even, aren't even known yet. There's no way to forecast and predict what the changes in technology, the changes in society will bring. So for us to have people who are tied to a specific job or occupation is very short-sighted. But we do a remarkable job preparing people at the same time for careers across all of our different areas.
You're so good at this, I have time for one more. Some of your supporters of the University of Wisconsin system have pointed out that we're talking about a $300 million cut almost in the same breath that the governor has announced the plan to raise $220 million for a new arena for the Milwaukee Bucks. How do you feel about that?
First, I have to tell you, the Bucks are so important to this community, and I hope that they are successful. If they're not, we're not. I see us as having very critically linked futures. We have partnerships with the Bucks. We look at expanding those more in the future, and I don't see this as an us versus them by any means. I would hope that the funding that is being identified for the Bucks is not divisive. I would hope that it is not something that's seen that way from the state budget. I think that there's very different funding streams and mechanisms in play. But overall, the timing is interesting. The juxtapositioning, the headlines essentially about the same day. But we couldn't be more supportive of the Bucks. They're simply too vital in this community.
By the time you and I get together again in about another month, you will know a whole lot more. And I imagine you'll be further along in your planning. Are you on a pretty fast planning schedule to cope with some of these things?
Well, the committees are. We're putting things together as we speak. Today we've had multiple meetings about the composition of both of these task forces, the communication and the budget planning that I've described. We will be identifying immediately and are already announcing to the deans across our schools and colleges. There was a meeting this morning where we outlined what some of the short-term cost containment measures will be. There was a system administration note that was issued by System President Ray Cross. We're going to be following that and be developing that further even next week. So immediate cost containment measures. We will then have, immediate and then intermediate in the next month, and then longer term types of things will be rolling out. Again, a lot of this is contingent on the final news that we hear. And to be fair, we will have to digest what that means for the different schools and colleges within the UW system. And that will take still a few weeks to identify.
We will look forward to your next update next month.
Thank you, Dave. I appreciate being here.
You've been listening to the Chancellor's Report featuring Mark Mone, Chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. If you would like more information, go to uwm.edu/chancellor.